You're listening to the Wedding People podcast, hosted by Rhianna Elizabeth and Rebecca Brennan Brown.
On this podcast, we talk about all things wedding. So if you're getting married and want to know wedding planner secrets, this is the show for you.
In this podcast, we may say the odd naughty word. So if you don't want to hear us dropping the F-bomb, we suggest that you listen to us later.
You can find more helpful information and show notes at www.theweddingpeoplepodcast.com. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
This is where you tell me if I'm being unreasonable. I have a hot water bottle because I'm freezing. Are you freezing?
I mean, I've got a cardigan and socks on, okay. But the hot water bottle is a step too far, for sure. It is June.
It's cold though. It's freezing.
Yeah, well, you live in England. What did you expect?
It's very true. Very true.
I hope it's going to be nice weather this weekend because I've got a lovely marquee wedding.
Let's hope. Let's pray for good weather gods.
Yeah. Please, everybody, if you're listening to this, pray to the good weather gods for a nice marquee wedding this weekend.
Yeah. Speaking of weddings, we've just done a lovely one together, haven't we?
Yeah.
That was so nice.
When was the last time we did... So this podcast is being recorded basically in real time. So we're recording this on... Is it Monday? Yeah, Monday.
It's the 21st of June today.
Yeah.
That day.
So this is the quickest release to record that we've done in a while. Most of them have been pre-prepared for quite a long time. So you're getting the most up-to-date information from us. And weddings are back.
Weddings are back.
Weddings are happening.
And we worked on one together, which was for me. You've already kick-started your wedding season, but that was the first one for my wedding season and the first one since COVID. So,
yeah. So would your last one have been the one that we did in Catford? Yeah.
Oh, we ended together.
Oh, you ended and
started together. That's so nice. That's so special.
It was great though, wasn't it? And it was like, I'm loving the 30 people thing. I know it's out the window now and everybody's allowed basically whoever bloody hell they want, but I quite like the 30 people.
It was lovely and it was really special because it was a friend of ours who is within the wedding and events industry and she'd postponed twice. Was it twice or three times?
I think twice.
Yeah. So there was like a special buzz in the air, I think. Everyone was just so happy. I think that was just lovely. And I'm a hopeless romantic, so it was very nice.
Yeah. No, it was lovely. It was a really lovely day. Mm-hmm. What else you been up to? Tell the people.
Well, we are in wedding season now. We've had updates, which did cause a bit of a wobble, I think. As great and yes, we don't have to have that 30. I think it's taken a lot for us to kind of be buried into our administration to make sure everything is fine and the guidelines are met and everyone's happy with everything. So full speed ahead, really. Very, very busy, which is why we are kind of breaking for the season, is so that we can dedicate time to our couples. We're not disappearing. We're still going to be available on Instagram and all that kind of thing. But we needed to focus on our wedding season, didn't we, Bex?
Yeah. So now, if you can imagine, is condensed from what should have been 2020 weddings. And this year's weddings have all condensed into this summer. So it is a bit busy. So we are taking a break. And we will be back in September, TBC.
Yeah, because you've been flying all over the country, haven't you? But you started...
I haven't been flying. I've been sitting in my car, mainly on the M25. I've been significantly happier if I've been flying places.
But you started... Was this your second wedding? How many weddings have you done now?
Yeah, done two. Another one this weekend. And then, pretty continuously until... I'm trying to remember to look at my calendar. 4th of September, which would be nice.
So
I'm very excited, very happy to be back doing stuff. I've just hired someone. That's news.
You have. Bex is a big working girl now. You've got more team.
I have team, and I already have a very nice team, to be fair. You help me a lot, and then I also work with somebody called Melissa who basically saves my life on a pretty regular basis. So yeah, busy summer ahead. So we're going to take a bit of a break. I don't know if you know this or not. I think you do know this, but the season four is basically planned. Yeah. We've got some really cool interviews coming up. We have some good solo episodes. So, yeah. And well, if you can't wait for us to come back, there are quite a lot of episodes which you can go back and listen to. Mm. Also, we post on our podcast Instagram, which is at the Wedding People Podcast. I post on my Instagram, which is by Rebecca Brennan Brown, and Rihanna posts on her Instagram, which is Rihanna_Elizabeth.
Oh, a little plug there. That's nice.
Got that off the top of my head.
That's good. No, I think there's a whole bank of podcasts because we've been doing this for a while now, and we've been doing this pre-COVID. We recorded when COVID started, when things started getting confusing. So we've covered a lot of topics over the past couple of years. So there is something, I think, for everyone, and we do try and stay as updated as possible. And we are quite sensitive as to not overshare on Instagram too many what's going ons. We get a lot of messages directly on Instagram, which we love, and please encourage that because we do love hearing from you and we do like getting back to you. But we're just aware that everyone's situation is very different and some information might not be helpful. So we try to be sensitive to that, but do cover as much topic in the podcast as possible, don't we, Bex? We try to be honest and direct.
Yeah. So today's episode is going to be basically a bit of a chat. We're going to try and squeeze in our best advice part two, but I don't know if we'll get there, to be honest with you. We'll just see how it goes. So I think we should start by talking a little bit about the latest announcement and what that means for people. Mm-hmm. I generally think it's quite a positive thing, to be honest with you. I've got 3 or 4 weddings that it will affect, and only one of them has decided to reschedule, which is a good outcome in comparison to previous announcements.
I agree. I'm in the middle, to be honest. Maybe because it's, well, one of my weddings that I'm doing, the venue is remaining closed, so that was a problem. But I think it's, a lot of it is down to interpretation and also what the venue is able to provide in regards to the capacity and if they can adhere to guidelines. But I agree with you. It's definitely a step. I just think that, you know, we've still got a long way to go. And I, you know, I'm going to be a bitter planner here, but I just can't keep seeing images of the Euros and the amount of people that are gathering in stadiums. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, no, that is annoying, particularly like wireless was this weekend and stuff as well. Like, that is annoying. Yeah. No, was it wireless? Latitude.
One of them.
A festival. And yeah, I guess like there's always going to be a certain point of, as a wedding planner, it's my job to look at this from a practical point of view. Mm-hmm. So that's naturally where my head goes first, is like, what does this actually mean in practice?
Yeah.
And I can work with that, like guidelines that when it's clear, and I do think like it is, it's a bit great, but it's clearer than it has been before. Like, there's stuff you can do with it.
100% agree with you. Like, there's a lot more, like, the stuff that is a grey area, I think it's open to interpretation. I think the main thing is to make sure you're safe and sensible. I think that's just the biggest thing.
There's a lot more emphasis on common sense and people making their own decisions that they feel comfortable with. Which is good to see. The only thing that really fucking pisses me off about it is, like, why would you not just put a guideline that says that everybody has to have a lateral flow test before they come? That seems like the most stupid thing. I honestly don't get that.
I mean, I think there was a survey that was done and they said 84% of guests would be happy to take a lateral flow before a wedding. I was quite surprised that it was that high, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
I think, you know, to show that is the case. I mean, obviously for the UK anyway, there's a few different situations with Italy and Europe, etc. But obviously, like Beck said, we want to be safe, keep everyone safe so that we can continue to move forward. And I think it's a case of, well, you know, put your masks on when you're walking around, make sure you've got your sanitizing stations, make sure that you've got signs up where needed, just doing everything that you can to prevent any kind of infection rate. I think that's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah, and like, because there's now this introduction of the risk assessments and stuff like that, just because there are guidelines, it doesn't mean that you can't also do things on top of the guidelines. So like the wedding that I have this weekend, we will be getting guests to test beforehand, just to add that extra level of, to be honest with you, I think it will just allow people to chill out a bit more on site, because I have got 55 guests, so that'll be the most people that people have been around probably for a long time. So if everybody there knows that everybody's been tested, they are more likely to relax. And you can do that in a really simple way. Like, we've just put an announcement banner on the wedding website, and we'll send a reminder to guests to go on the website. And in that announcement banner, there's a link to the NHS website where you can book a test or order a test. Mm-hmm. And like, it's as simple as that. Tests are really easy to get hold of at the moment, so it's definitely a good mitigating step.
Yeah, I think the first week, I mean, I've definitely been a little bit like, okay, I need to be at my desk and work this all out. But I think once you then start looking through everything, it's not as complicated as you think. Exactly like you said, putting those things in place, even the lateral flows, if everybody has done one and everyone is okay, that's immediately going to remove this level of tension. You know, everyone knows how to wash their hands and sanitize, so.
Yeah, and like what are the other main things? Like, venue capacity, there's not a lot you can do about that, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Seated, drinks, unseated service.
Yeah.
Is probably the main difference for most people. It's a little bit more flexible if you are outside. The key terminology that you want to look out for in the guidance is the difference between the word must and advised. Must means it's legal and you have to do what it says. Advised is you can make your own decision on it. And I'm not encouraging people to completely go against the advice, but take a stance on it from where you are and decide, maybe if you have got lateral flow tests, then dancing outside might be okay, you know.
Well, exactly, like, at the end of the day, the word is advised, so you can only take what you want from that as long as you're sensible and safe. You know, we know that dance floors are not allowed, so if your venue requires you to have one to dance, you can't dance, you know.
So that was that.
That was that.
And then the other question that somebody asked, I can't remember who asked it, I'm really sorry, and a little while ago, was about 2022 timelines. Now, I'm seeing this a lot at the moment, is people kind of getting a bit lost and confused on what they should be doing now and whether the timelines are still the same and all of this sort of thing. And I think I would just start by saying, wherever you look or whoever you speak to is going to give you a different timeline. Like, Rihanna and I would probably give you different timelines if you asked the two of us, because it's subjective. It's also not, it's not that important that you send your invites on a full moon 6 months before and sacrifice a cat while you're doing it. Like, it doesn't have to be that specific.
Please don't sacrifice a cat.
I don't like cats.
Oh, I love cats.
It just doesn't, it's just not that, like, it's just not as, I was going to say it's just not as simple as you do this then and that then. But like, the problem is, it's like, it is more simple than that. You just sort of do it when it's kind of the right time.
For you,
will depend on, like, what's important to you. Like we've said before, if you love a particular band, then you need to contact them way far in advance. But if you're not bothered about a band, then you'll find something. Like, I've just organised two weddings with like 10 days notice. Like, it's fine.
Honestly, I think it's, I'm still getting inquiries, and I know you are, for next year, for weekend weddings in peak season. And obviously I'm like, right, well, if you're starting from scratch, it might be a little bit more difficult. So you should probably just open up your kind of, if I want to get married on a Saturday in July, maybe just open that up a bit to give you more options. But like, you can do a simple reach out to some people and find amazing photographers, amazing florists. There's such an abundance of options. And like you said, with timelines, it massively depends on you, your wedding, if you've got traveling guests. I deal with a lot of weddings that have a lot of guests from overseas. So naturally we send out save the dates and invites a lot earlier in advance because people have to prepare their travel. But on the flip side, my cousin's getting married in August and she's sent her invites out probably 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it really does depend on when you feel it's right for you. And obviously the family knew when she was getting married. So even though we hadn't received an official invite, we knew. Like, it's one of those things of, it just depends how many guests you have, when the wedding's going to be. But you can move at your own pace. We suggest a generic timeline, but that massively changes as you move forward.
Yeah, it's just not the be all and end all to like stick to it. However, in saying that, as you said, finding venues for June, July, August 2022 on a Saturday is becoming increasingly difficult.
Yeah.
So if you are looking, and like, I'm not going to lie to you, when I get inquiries now for a Saturday peak season next year, I am a bit like,
yeah.
And without a venue, it is getting a bit sticky. But that doesn't mean that you won't find something. Like you said, you just have to be a little bit more flexible, potentially look at 2023. The only other thing I would say about timelines for 2022 is because there are a lot of weddings happening, sending your save the dates, I don't think there's such a thing as a too early save the date.
No.
Because there are a lot more weddings and a lot more holidays that people have been putting off and all of that sort of thing, I think the earlier you can send the save the dates, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, like we always say, unless you want a specific florist, a specific band, a specific hair and makeup artist, whatever, like, they can wait.
There's always someone available. We've found that as well, because obviously we're dealing with I think it was a lot of people were holding fire on booking people or looking for people because they didn't know what was going on. So then when restrictions started to ease, we found everyone going, right, we need a florist, we need this, because we had everything ready to go and then we just had to press that green button. But we haven't struggled, you know, it's been harder for those peak days, but you always find someone based on experience up till now. And you find good people as well. Just because they're still available does not mean that they're not great at what they offer.
Yeah,
it's just some people have, you know, large weddings of 300 to 500 people, they happen and they've been postponed. So maybe that florist or photographer has become available because one of their clients has moved it back a year. So there's so many different scenarios. I wouldn't stress. I would just be more open to dates. So, you know, midweek and 2023, or maybe you're going to
I was going to say, if you're not open to being flexible, move to 2023.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's the decision that you're faced with. And I have, like, people are getting stuck in the middle of that.
Yeah.
But you have to just go back to what you think is most important to you.
Yeah.
If you can get over the fact that if you're one of these people that has to have, like, you've envisioned these certain types of chairs for your whole life at your wedding, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people shouldn't be made to feel bad about these sort of things, but if you're not willing to sacrifice on that, then I would look at 2023. I'll come back to that in my advice later, the chairs thing.
Okay,
so should we move on to some of our best advice part two?
Go on then.
This is like one of those episodes where we always say, we'll do a part two, and we never do, and we actually have.
Well, I think it's, do you know what? I think inquiry-wise, it's getting quite hot and heavy, obviously, with everybody now wanting, I think a lot of people have left their wedding planning on hold and now maybe think, do you know what? I think I want to get involved now. And I've learned a lot recently that I think, what I'm trying to say. We went a long time without lots of inquiries, I feel. And then it started picking up. And then you start to see what people are asking more of. Oh my God, this is really terribly
what
exciting.
On earth are you going on about?
When you do lots of consultations,
yeah, you see the same questions.
Yes. Right. And I think the key thing is this podcast is obviously to help people who are not planning their weddings. No. Oh my God, just edit this whole bit out.
Right. For God's sake, what's your best bit of advice? Come on.
I would like to talk about marquee weddings.
Okay. Topical.
Topical. Because I'm finding that obviously they are becoming more popular because outdoor, 50% open sides at the moment, a lot of people are opting to do that. I'm finding that inquiries are coming in for outdoor marquee weddings. Are you finding the same?
Yes. Yeah. People are more open to the idea, yeah.
But I want to flag that I would say 9 times out of 10, a marquee wedding is more costly. Depending on if you're having ground hire space. So if, for example, you're going to a venue that's got an estate or just a field and you've got to pay for the hire of that particular location, then you're building everything on top of it. If you're having it in your home or possibly an Airbnb, when, you know, things like that are lower in rate to hire or to have, then different. But I just find that if you've got 150 people for a marquee, it can be quite expensive and there's things to look out for.
Yeah, particularly when you go up to numbers like that. Like, I think that's probably the pivotal point. Like, about 50 people is kind of doable. But when you get above 50, you can't really run that power on a house or like a garden plug socket, for example, is never going to be strong enough to power a kitchen for 150 people. So then you're getting generators in. 150 people you are not going to want in your house, so you're getting toilets in. Yeah. And that is where it starts to add up. It's not, getting a marquee is not a DIY option, I would say.
It is a DIY
option, but it's not that cheap alternative that people think it is.
I mean, there's so many, I think we've done an episode on marquees before, and I think we should revisit that in the episode season 4, because I think more people are having it and it's more demand. But there are so many different types of marquee, all with different associated costs. And someone said to me, how much is a marquee? And I'm doing a wedding in September. And I think that a marquee for about 80 to 150 can range from 6 to 7 grand to 15 grand plus.
Yeah. So like I'm doing a wedding, I've got a couple of marquees, kitchen and 2 marquees for a wedding coming up, and I've just paid 6.
Yeah.
For 50 people.
Yeah. Because you've got flooring, or you know, you can have fixed floor, or you'll have matting, which is just
that's
laid
the thing
over.
Though. That's a really unhelpful number, isn't it? Because what is that, what is included in that? Actually, that is all lighting, flooring, all the install. One of them's a clear marquee. It's just unhelpful for us to say marquees cost this much, because you just can't do that. There's too many variables.
And it also depends on your ground. Sorry. Yeah. Because if you have unlevel ground, you can't put a marquee on the wonk. So you've got to make sure that it's level. So before you start thinking, right, well, it's going to cost me 6 grand or it's going to cost me 10 grand, you have to have your location and you have to make sure that you contact some people to do an inspection. Because I think that I wouldn't recommend confirming a venue that's allowing you to build a marquee unless they can share with you some estimated pricing based on their usual suppliers, because I think you could really get stung, like Beck said, with generators and toilets and water and all that kind of thing, and catering kitchen, all that kind of stuff. So there's plenty of marquee companies that are very helpful with being able to give you rough breakdowns on how much things cost. So you can definitely do some research so that you're a bit more prepared with what that could look like.
Yeah, you've got to be flexible with it though, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because as well, it's stuff like you might look at your garden and think, oh, I've got loads of plug sockets here. And that's great. But if they're not powerful enough to run an oven, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
So it's just, if you'd have asked me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I reckon I'd have said that marquee weddings are my worst nightmare. And now I've got maybe six this year and I frigging love them.
Oh, I completely agree with you.
It's so much fun. I really like all of the moving parts to it as a planner.
But I think it also depends on where you work the most. I would have said that, you know, we've both come from doing events in galleries and all that kind of thing in London with like short turnaround times of 45 minutes. And some people are like, oh my God, that's my worst nightmare. And I would have said marquees are my worst nightmare when you get to 3 days of setup. But now I'm like, what a dream. You can literally build it and make it exactly as you are, as your own. There's so many different types. You've got clear PVC, you've got stretch tents, which are beautiful, pole marquees.
There's loads of options.
There's so many options. I just think there are different price points. So definitely do your research before committing to something like that.
Yeah. Oh, shall. And actually, moving on to that, my next tip would be to if you can build some time into your schedule to perfect your tables, do it. Like, it's so worth it. Oh, I had the time last weekend to perfect. I had time to perfect those tables and it made such a difference. Like, just going around and making sure that all the cutlery's lined up properly and that the plates are the same distance away from the edge of the table and that the seats are the same distance away from the table and stuff like that. Like, it makes so much of a difference. And in reality, you want your catering team to do this rather than you. But if you can build time into a schedule to allow for that, it makes a huge difference. And I think by the time this goes out, there'll be a video on my Instagram, which will be me showing you what I'm about to explain so that it actually makes sense. But to line up chairs, if you've got like shibari chairs or something with a seat pad, normally that seat pad comes off the chair. Mm-hmm. So you can take the seat pad off the chair and put the seat pad like long ways in between the table and chair and use that to measure every chair the whole way along so they are one seat pad away. Same with plates are like from your, if you put your knuckle of your thumb on the edge of a table, the plate should start like at the top of your thumb.
Very good.
Please head to my Instagram to see this video.
Yeah, you're right, those little tiny details are something that, I mean, and you can definitely reiterate that back to, if you don't have a planner, to your catering team or the operations team, whoever's dealing with that, to just say, look, this is my priority. I'd really like everything to be sitting in line with each other. And just make sure they give that little bit of extra attention, because you don't want to have to be worrying about that on your wedding day. So make sure you just put a little note and say, look, just make sure that you double check. I would also like to talk about wet weather. I think it is essential to have plan A and plan B. And so essential that I'm actually, it's in the contract now, my contract, to say that if you are aiming for an outdoor wedding, you must have an alternative that can host all of your guests. As people know, I work a lot in Italy and have found that many people who get married in Italy think that the weather is going to be beautiful, but it does rain, and it can kind of thunder down quite heavily, exactly like it does in the UK. And I think a lot of people who aim for destination weddings tend to try to avoid a plan B because they think that it's not going to apply to them. But just like the UK, I think it's essential to have a backup plan, whether that be speaking to a marquee company who could possibly provide a last minute, you know, maybe you need to give them a deposit 4 weeks in advance, but you've maybe spoke to them beforehand to let them know you might need something, or the venue you've got an inside option where everything can be moved into, and you usually make that call anything from well, depending on how easy it is to turn around, you can even do it the day before.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think also the opposite side of that is that I think I see people quite often keep a marquee on reserve and expect to not pay for it.
I completely agree, yeah.
And that is also really unfair to marquee companies, and they can't really do that.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things that if you do have an outdoor wedding, you do kind of just have to suck up that cost, whether you use it or not, unfortunately, quite a lot of the time. It's just one of those things that comes with getting married outside.
Yeah, and I think that should the heavens open, you'll be in a much worse position. Fair enough if it's beautiful and you don't have to use it. But there are companies, who will take a smaller deposit for something like that. For example, I'm doing a wedding in Como, and they have their own microclimate. And they're like, no, it's going to be glorious weather, and absolutely, we're aiming for that. But there's a marquee company who you can even draft in the week before, but you have to put down like a 15% deposit at least, because like you said, it's business for them. They just can't keep it on the side in case somebody else wants that structure. So I think there's definitely things that you can do to kind of prepare yourself, but not have to pay an absolute fortune or a massive 50% upfront.
Just while we're talking about outside weddings, actually, we probably should have spoken about this at the beginning, but they've scrapped they will be scrapping the law that you have to get married in a licensed structure outside. So you'll be able to...
What, as in a general whole? Whole general?
What?
As in that general rule of you have to... The general rule of being married in a structure is going to be completely removed.
Yeah.
You don't have to be licensed.
No. You
can get married from next month. Where did you find this information? How do you always know this information?
It was in the news a couple of days ago.
Oh, right, well. I didn't read the news a couple of days ago, clearly.
So that does open things up a bit more in terms of...
Yeah.
Do you know why I reckon they've done it now? Because the registry offices are full. Because of COVID.
Yeah.
Fully booked.
Yeah, because usually it has to be a structure or some... Even people have licensed pergolas and stuff outside, don't they? Like, just form a fixed structure.
Yeah, it has to be a licensed structure with a roof. But yeah, that is going.
Okay.
So that will open up a lot more opportunities for people. Yeah.
Yeah, that will open a lot of things up. That's quite good.
Yeah. Something that we talk about all the time, so I won't harp on about it for too long, is... If you're being gifted from money from whoever, family, friends, whoever, just finding out what that comes with, what expectation that comes with, if it's expected to go to a certain place, or if it is really, truly free money in the sense that you can decide what happens to it. Like a common one is that parents will give money and then expect their friends to be invited. Mm-hmm. And if you find that out from the outset, it just prevents any potentially nasty issues further down the line. That's all I have to say on that. Because we talk about it all the bloody time.
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly like you said, then that way you can decide if you even want to take the money. Because I think if someone says, oh, I want this and I expect this and this and this, you can go, okay, well, thank you so much for your kind offer, but we're going to handle it on our own. But thank you. You know, there's not, you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, you want to make sure you don't want to have anything over your head and have to feel, I mean, unless you want to, of course, that's totally your prerogative. But I think it's a very bit of, I think it's things that that comes up a lot and often. It's not rare.
Yeah. Agreed.
What would you say in regards to guest list? I am finding that more people are doing full-day weddings rather than the extra evening guests. I'm finding that more couples are opting to do the full day with their guests rather than just extras in the evening. What about you?
Yeah, like definitely more limited evening numbers.
Yeah.
Like if there are any, they're like 20.
Yeah. And I think that's not even just due throughout COVID and that kind of... planning yeah. option. I've just found that over the years, they used to be like, oh, we're having 60 extra people in the evening. I haven't yeah. done that in quite some time. I don't yeah. think I've done that in a good few years. Usually it's maybe like 10, maybe it's partners of people in the day who are turning up and people that you couldn't necessarily get in. But I'm finding that that's happening throughout the whole day. You have everyone's coming. And I think that includes longer options of, oh, we're having a brunch the day after or a welcome party. Yeah. People are trying to make more of a weekend out of their weddings these days, so everyone comes for that celebration.
Yeah, you just got to bear in mind that with that comes a lot more cost.
Yes, yeah, but I think you can be a bit more selective, because if you're having a wedding where everyone is coming for the whole day, you can simply say to your other people who aren't invited, oh, we're just doing something intimate with our immediate friends and family for the whole day. We're not having extra people in the evening. Because I think there's an expectation with guests, which I think a lot of people try to meet. And I think it's like, oh, well, we've got to invite that person to the evening because they'll be expecting an evening invite. Mm. But at the end of the day, don't worry about trying to manage guest expectations, because it can't ever be achieved. There's always going to be someone who's disgruntled, I reckon. So yeah. if you're doing that full day experience, that gives you that kind of, we're doing something for the whole day, no extra evening party, just immediate yeah. friends and family, then they can shut up, hopefully.
Yeah. Politely.
Politely.
Yeah. Okay. My final bit of advice for today is to have in the back of your mind when you're making decisions and when you're going through your planning what you're going to remember in 20 years' time. And mm-hmm. this is where I'm circling back to my chairs comment that I started with. I find it hard to believe that in reality a lot of people would care in 20 years' time about the chairs that they had at their wedding. Some people will. And again, totally fine. But I think sometimes these things feel like a much bigger deal in the moment than they actually are. Like, I can only speak for myself, and I've said this hundreds of times, but long term, I know I will care most about everybody having a really good time, and anything else on top of that is a bit of a bonus to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like to plan weddings to be like.
Yeah.
Well, like, obviously making them look amazing is chef's kiss, but I just think it's important to remember that when you're going through, particularly some of the more detailed parts as well. Like you kind of just said, it can be difficult sometimes to get over what you think other people's expectations are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think it's honing that in on what you guys want, what you want your wedding to feel like. And there can be a lot of noise from different people. Everyone's going to always have an opinion. There's always someone who's going to have opinion, and it's hard to filter that. And I find that we get contacted a lot by people going, oh, how do I manage that person's thought process and that person's expectation? It's like, well, actually, we always say it, just bring it back. Always say thank you very much for your opinion. We're taking everything into account. Yeah, also on that
though, you can't manage other people. Other people aren't your responsibility.
No way. It's just how a lot of people are like, I don't want to hurt their feelings. It's like, well, maybe they're hurting yours by suggesting this option. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, think about you. Think about what you want, both of you.
Yeah, Christ, if you're shelling out anything over $5,000 and you're not thinking about yourself, then...
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, not even under $5,000, to be fair.
Yeah, any amount of money. I mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. My last bit of advice is about wedding websites, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I think that they are very helpful, especially if you've got destination or you're having multiple events. It can also greatly save you money on stationery if you want to save costs there. And there's tons of options. You can get templates for free. You can go personal and go on Wix or something like that and build your own website. There's places like With Joy, Riley and Gray, Hitched, where you can kind of get a template and run with it. But I do think that it's very helpful and you can then update things as you go. For example, I've had a wedding website which Bex helped me with, and obviously I had to postpone a couple of times, and I just simply went on the website, sent a WhatsApp change the date to everybody and said, please go back onto the website to RSVP again. And then I changed all the dates and times, and I found that very helpful with changes and just general updates.
I'll be honest with you, as a wedding planner, the old-fashioned RSVP cards are, oh my God, such a nightmare. Like, I hate them. Like, they just make life so much more complicated. It's so easy when people just go to a website, say yes or no, put their dietary requirements in, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, having to chase people for to get those little cards back. All of that sort of thing. My, like, ideal process is people to send their invites and save the dates via email. And, like, if you want to add in a paper thing in there as well, then that's fine. But I think the easiest thing to do by far is to do it all via email and websites. And like you said, like, there are some really good ones. With Joy is great and free.
Yeah. I would say 80% of my couples will have a website, and they will still do a paper element, because I think a lot of people still like that. I very much love stationery, where they send the formal invite and then they have a details card. Sometimes they even put the website on the just the one invitation. But it will say, please head to our wedding website to RSVP, and where you can find out details on accommodation and hotels. Because I find now hotel accommodation is something that people want, because most people will stay overnight, and people are getting married further afield now, aren't they? At least maybe 2 hours, an hour and a half away from where they live. So people do want to have that accommodation, maybe even the night before. So it's helpful to have that on the website. You don't have to have that printed, because it can get expensive and it's not, you know, super sustainable. So I think websites are very helpful for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that you can't have that physical invite. You just put the website on the invite.
Yeah. No, the ones that I'm slacking off are no website at all printed.
Some people do that. I have.
No, I've got a couple of couples that have done them, and they're. It just means I'm spending my life chasing people. I'm just bitter.
I think it can. I mean, I'm always pro stationery. You know what I'm like. I love it. I'm like, oh, it's pretty. It can be put on the fridge or the pin board. But I do think that there's a smaller percentage of people who are doing that.
Yeah. I agreed. Yeah.
There you go.
Anything else you want to add today?
Yeah. Well, good.
Cool.
This was it. This was our final episode of the season.
Oh yeah. I was literally just about to be like, see ya.
Oh.
No, thanks for sticking with us for another season. What are we on now? Three? Yeah, three.
Yeah, bloody hell. Ending season three. And I want to say thank you to everybody who's come on to the I Do crew. And it is something that's going to be coming back, because I think that it is so important to hear from people directly, or different types of couples who are doing different things, real people who are experiencing real planning fun and problems and all the things.
Yep. And just so you know, you get advance warning of questions and stuff like that. So you can prepare and tell us what you do and don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
We've got two booked in for next season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would, I think we've got another two slots. So if you're interested, email us at info@theweddingpeoplepodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for sticking with us now. This is the third year?
I literally can't do that maths.
Oh, for God's sake, Rebecca.
Three seasons.
Three seasons, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'm off to plan some weddings now.
Okay, yes, I'm going to do some administration now.
All right, well, thanks for talking to me about all of that stuff, really.
You're welcome, Rebecca.
I'll see you in season four.
Thank you for listening to the Wedding People podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. And don't forget, you can always get in touch via the details on our show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you can tune in to our next episode.